everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. Joining us today is Amy Robinson, who is Carbon Black's Chief People Officer. And Amy was recently named to the Accomplice Rev3 list, which is a list of 20 of the most successful tech female leaders inside the Boston community. So Amy, first of all, congratulations. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks, Ryan.
Sure.
Glad to be with you.
Excellent. And so I found an interesting paragraph on the website when they were announcing this award. There was a paragraph that said the common thread that unites the cohort was that they are the bet on who is going to be running the tech ecosystem in a few years. They've already accomplished great things, and they're on a trajectory to do even more. So to get us started, tell us a little about your role as Chief People Officer at Carbon Black and how the successes you've had during your career here have sort of led to not only this award, but the career trajectory you've had to date.
Yeah, my role as Chief People Officer, what I am focused on is attracting phenomenally gifted people into the company at a pace. You know, we're growing really, really quickly. So to be able to do that consistently at our growth rate is really challenging. So that's the first piece, right? Attracting great people into the company. The second is motivating and retaining them. We will not be able to grow and sustain our growth at the rate that we need to if we just rely on the external market to as our feeder system and feeder pool for talent. So we are, and I am, particularly these days, I'd say early on, you know, when I joined the company, it was really all about recruiting and figuring out ways to attract people and hire them into the company. These days, what keeps me up at night is retaining people mm-hmm. and figuring out the ways in which we can build out their skill sets, challenge them, and motivate them to take on new sort of bold assignments in order for them to develop their skills and really contribute in ways that they probably never imagined when they first joined the company and took the job offer. You know, I think about some of, you know, our accomplishments and what we put into place. You know, I think about a conversation I had with Patrick Morley, our CEO, back in 2013, so that's almost 4 years ago now, and I started talking to him about the importance of investing in leadership development. And remember, at the time, it was really all around the recruiting engine and figuring out how to attract people into the organization. And I said, hey, Patrick, from having done this before, the time is now, right? We're 200, 250 people. The time is now to start investing in building up the leadership skills of our middle management, because anyone who's gone through or from having personally gone through rapid growth companies before, companies are built on the backs of our middle management, and we really need to start investing in people today and driving growth from within and building our own bench. And so I'm proud to tell you that today is the fourth year that we've implemented our leadership development program. We take 15 to 18 of our top leaders in the company every year and bring them through a very robust leadership development experience. So yeah, there's some training involved in that, but what we really cultivate is experience and a series of connections across the organization to help people, you know, when they're in a really challenging spot. And, you know, yes, of course, you can always go to your manager for help, but we have developed this program is an opportunity for people to have great relationships across the company with trusted colleagues that they can pick up the phone and call folks for help to do some peer coaching as they're trying to sort of navigate their way through some of their problems. So that program has been a huge success for us. You know, the other thing that I'm really proud of at the company is that we've been nominated as a top place to work for 3 years in a row, and we're in the process right now of going for our fourth year, and that's tremendous, right? Maybe it's easy to get nominated your first year, but once you start getting some critical mass in place, right, mm-hmm. we're close to 1,000 people today. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of hearts and minds that need to be rowing in the same direction and really working together to help build the company. And so I'm really proud of that. I think the culture eats strategy for breakfast. There's a lot of documented research on that, and it's true. Our team is the most important thing, and we have focused on empowering our team since we started. I guess the last accomplishment that I will leave you with is that we have given people a license to lead, and we have a philosophy across the company, which is that we're looking to attract and build leaders at every level in the organization. And that's as true as it was, when we were, 200 people 4 years ago, as it is today. And so giving people opportunities and giving them the license to lead, like, we work hard on building the capability so that they're equipped with the skills, but to truly have a collaborative, learning-oriented culture, the kinds of culture that companies dream about, you need to empower your people, and you really need to give them permission to be who they are and to take risks. And that is very hard to quantify. All I can tell you is that with all the leaders at the executive level and all the leaders we hire and promote, we go through great lengths to emphasize how important that principle is to us across the company. And we've been able to replicate it with great success. And so I think that element is a strong foundation of what has enabled us to win the awards that we have, and to be broadly recognized as a top place to work.
And so when you talked about being potentially the fourth year in a row that Carbon Black could win the Best Place to Work award, it's interesting to note that for the REV, this is the third edition, and this is the third consecutive year that a Carbon Black leader has been given the honor. So congratulations to you for continuing that streak. And you mentioned early on in your initial answer to that question, the concept of recruiting and how the growth rate overlaps that. And we seem to be growing at a significant rate. You noted that we are close to 1,000 employees now. And I think if anyone pays attention to cybersecurity news, one of the themes, one of the stories that jumps to the top is always the job shortage that exists in cybersecurity. At any given time, there's up to 1 million open jobs. And in line with that, there seems to be an even bigger shortage when it comes to females working in tech and females working in cybersecurity. So with that in mind, what are some of the initiatives that you've been working on to improve diversity at Carbon Black, particularly as it relates to females in tech and females in cybersecurity?
Great question. I can talk about two initiatives that we started this year. So the first is we've created a forum called the Cigar Room. Mm-hmm. And really, it's an opportunity for women and men to join together to have a conversation around the topic of diversity and inclusion. And the primary focus of the Cigar Room is to talk about gender equality, but certainly by creating the forum and the conversation, it is certainly an organic conversation in the organization, and we welcome that. So we've been able to tackle conversations that are a little bit more broad beyond just gender diversity. But that said, it's been a very important program, and like I say, conversation and discussion, because mm-hmm. what we're trying to do through the Cigar Room is, and that's our internally branded name for it, is to create awareness. To create awareness that, hey, implicit bias exists. How do we understand it a little bit further, and what can we do about it? To create awareness that, hey, it's challenging. Certainly in parts of the organization, we have more female representation than others. So I can tell you right now, in our product organization, we have about 22-23% of that makeup is women. Mm-hmm. So we want to do better. And there are other parts of the organization where it's much higher, right? So mm-hmm. I'll share with you that in the sales organization, we know compared to other organizations, we're doing much better. But it doesn't matter where we're at and from a demographic standpoint or statistical standpoint in any group. The key is that we want to continue to push the envelope and do better. I'd love to see an environment at Carbon Black where we have, you know, representative of the percentage of females that are in the world. I'd love to see 50-50. Mm-hmm. So Cigar Room gives us an opportunity to start having those conversations, put recommendations into place so that we can start making a difference. Through the Cigar Room, we have started getting more actively involved with She Geeks Out, which is an organization that really is focused on driving change for women within engineering and tech organizations. We have gotten involved in the Grace Hopper conference and organization as well, and I would say that we're dipping our toe in some of the conferences and sponsorships that we know will make a difference in order for us to attract and recruit more females into the company. The second area that we focused on this year is that we ran a gender equality pay study. So what I really wanted to understand is, okay, we're starting to spin up the conversation internally, starting to get more actively involved externally with certain groups and organizations. How are we doing when it comes to the sort of topic of gender equality with respect to pay? Mm-hmm. And we looked at the data all sorts of different ways, by level, by tenure, by position. We looked for every single job. You can imagine at close to 1,000 people in the company, how many jobs we have in the company. And we spread that data. The bottom line is I'm really pleased to share that there is no discrepancy. Women at Carbon Black make the exact same amount. Obviously, there might be a couple dollar differences, but generally speaking, there's no difference. We make the exact same amount as males. And we have had a strong value of equality in the company since the day I joined. And I was really proud, and I know the executive team was really proud once we had access, we had the information and we had the data that basically backed up with integrity our say-do, right? So we value equality, we value participation, equal participation for all, and that has shown up in the way in which we pay our people, which I think is quite, we know, is industry leading. And we're thinking right now, sort of going through the process to figure out how do we maintain that practice, and how do we promote that? Because that certainly is something that sets us apart. I know it sets us apart from most technology companies in the market. And the third area, and we're starting to have this conversation through the Cigar Room, is how do we get more actively involved in community programs that target women who are much, much younger? Because let's be frank here. In order to change this trend, right, you've got to look at it structurally and holistically, mm-hmm. In the whole system. And so we're looking at ways in which we can get more actively involved in the community to teach younger women and younger girls programming and funding ways that they have access to computers and math and mentors and a whole host of other elements, that are connected in the community to help get them interested and engaged at a much younger age, so that we can take part in creating the macro level change that we're all striving for.
Sure. So sort of looking at the problem holistically and targeting females at a much younger age, so that by the time they get to, say, college, or when they're looking for jobs, they're already equipped with the skills and desires to potentially go into technology or cybersecurity.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
And our final question for today. So a big part of the conversations that I always have when people ask me, what's it like to work for an organization that's growing at such a quick rate? You noted when you started, the number was around 200. It was shortly after that. And now we're at about 1,000. People almost always universally cite the way we're going to maintain that growth is through our company culture. And that sort of starts from the top. And in that regard, you've often been cited by a number of people that I've spoken to as a role model in helping set that culture. So as that role model, as the chief people officer of Carbon Black, and knowing, right, that you've been able to participate in the weekend session with the Rev Group, taking all that experience, what is your advice to aspiring female tech leaders, not only at Carbon Black, but in the greater technology community?
So I will keep this simple and say that be yourself. Hmm. Be bold, be yourself. Don't try to just fit in. If you've been conditioned, like I was early on in my career, that, hey, the importance is to sort of figure out how the game works, figure out how the system works, keep your head down, do great work, and over time, right, sort of in the long run, it will benefit you. My advice is to be unique, right? Each of us has a unique gift, and some of the lucky ones have a set of unique gifts. Mm-hmm. And I would say embrace those early and often. Stand out. It's the people in society, and I would say women in general, who tend to stand out and be authentic and have the guts to be authentic, I believe will have an opportunity to sort of earn that seat at the table, whatever table it is that you're looking to claim, at a faster clip. And if more women can do that and be confident about in their ability to do that and kind of tune out the naysayers, I think we will see change happen at a faster rate than I have, right? And I hate to say it, my generation, but I'm 45 years old, so I've been at this for a bit. Second element that I want to hit here is this concept of advocation. So it's so important to get clear on what you believe in, to advocate for yourself, and to advocate for others. In particular, I think that as women, we need to do a much better job at advocating for advocating for each other and promoting all the great work and the risks that other women have taken, and to maybe promote it twice or three times, right, so that people really hear it. And I think that this whole, driving change, it has to come, we have to do this together and take risks together and be willing to stand out. I mean, both, what's the saying, right? Fortune favors the bold. And so I think really just remembering that, obviously you need to do good work and you need to deliver on your commitments and all of those things that are required in any position or any industry. But my bottom line is stand out and have confidence standing out and standing up for yourself.
Excellent. And regarding advocacy, revboston.org, all one word. If you want to nominate someone to be in the Rev 4 class, this will be this is now the third year they're doing it. They are accepting nominations for what will be the Rev 4 class. And Amy Robinson, of course, Chief People Officer of Carbon Black, has been named to the Rev 3 for being one of the top 20 female VPs and directors in Boston Tech. Amy Robinson, thank you for joining us today in the podcast, and congratulations again.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.